this is kind of how I got hooked on this question. There's forest diebacks or species diebacks have been discovered on all plant-covered continents in association with climate change. And a lot of the researchers working on those species diebacks are still trying to figure out the mechanisms. So what's causing them both from the climate side and then what's kind of the species vulnerability? So biologically, what's happening for that species and why is it dying? And the same story is true in Southeast Alaska in that there was a really solid team of researchers working for years trying to figure out why the yellow cedar tree is dying. And when I met that team and read the science, I felt like there was a really kind of good understanding of where we are and what's causing that. And so there was a chance to kind of look beyond and say, okay, well, potentially these can have implications on the rest of the forest community. And also, obviously, given my interest in ultimately the questions of resource management and sustainability and big questions about adaptation to climate change, there's a social story there, too.
You don't think of scientists or somebody who's studying plant communities as going around talking to people as well. I mean, it seems like that's something that's a lot more difficult to quantify.
For me, the things that I've always worked on have been at that interface of understanding ecological change that's occurring or impacts on the environment and really understanding how we may be causing them or how we may be relating to them. And it's interesting, from an academic standpoint, a lot of disciplinary programs, ecologists will really focus in on those population dynamics, but the population is the plant community. And for me, I just naturally think about the two. And so it wouldn't have made sense for me to ask the questions that I'm asking on West Chichagof if I weren't talking to the people that have used and valued those forests. And there's a lot of emphasis now on questions of sustainability and questions of future resource management, not just in Southeast Alaska, but obviously at the global scale. And I think finding a way to approach those questions more holistically, where you're equally valuing a plant identification and somebody's story of their connection to that place or that species. To me, I guess that comes from an inherent belief that that's working in a good direction for us.
I wonder why you got into this. You used to live in Juneau?
Well, yeah, I lived in Juneau for 3.5 years before going to Stanford. And I guess I have the similar story to a lot of people up here in that I came up here for 3 months with a bag, and that soon became 3.5 years. I mean, I feel a deep connection to this place and the communities here. And that just came from that experience, and I really held that, I think, when I went to graduate school. I didn't actually intend to do my work back in Alaska. What brought me to Alaska in the first place was I had an interest in temperate regions. I'd spent time in Chile in a very similar ecosystem. And at a young age, I was 20 at the time. And somehow when I finished college, I thought, well, this might be a chance to go check out another one of those places. But it really has taught me a lot more personally, professionally, in terms of the kinds of research that I'm interested in. And I think that the relationships that people have here with natural resources or with the environment, there's so many, it's hard to label what it was, but the relationships that people have with the surrounding community provide some really important lessons that extend beyond Southeast Alaska.
What do you want us most to know about what you have studied so far? Is there any takeaway yet for us? And your answer is not going to be peer reviewed. Is there any aha?
Sure. What's been interesting to me, too, is to talk with people who've really spent a lot of time and seeing the overlaps between the ecology and between, you know, the questions that I'm asking of the people here is that when you talk to a hunter or you talk to someone going out and gathering for weaving purposes and the depth of knowledge that comes with that experience and observation in many cases really parallel what we see ecologically and the changes. I think that some of the information around yellow cedar regeneration, when I get more down into the real specifics of it, will be helpful for, there are some folks at the Pacific Northwest Research Station and the Forest Service who are developing kind of a conservation management strategy for yellow cedar. So where are they doing better? Where might they do better? Or if you were to think of planting yellow cedar, what are kind of the key conditions where we might expect better future regeneration or survival? So given what I'm seeing at lower elevations, I think that'll contribute to some of the emphasis on higher elevations and things like that. It's a dynamic process, just like the researchers that came up and studied, you know, gap dynamics, and we learned that things happen on these time scales where you lose full, you know, you create an opening and you get more access to light, and then that opens up resources for the understory. Well, some of those dynamics can be similar in forests affected by decline, and those are kind of the complex ones that I'm sorting out on what time scales and what species in particular.
So I'm kind of oversimplifying a little bit, but there are losses, I think I hear you saying, but there are also certain kinds of gains.
Definitely. And I think that's an interesting question in climate change in general, is we tend to focus on those losses and people feel them, particularly when you're deeply connected to a particular species. But yeah, when if you're losing one, you're opening up opportunities for others. So it's a question of change in values again over what scale of time. And I guess those are kind of the bigger questions that I kind of grapple with and would like to write. Ultimately, I'd really like to write a book from this that will be more accessible and told in story and, you know, incorporate some of that philosophy as well.